Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning, the word that speaks of life and hope and light. We pray that as we reflect upon it, you will just shine your light into our hearts, that we might truly believe in you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Do you believe this? Last week we had a phone call at Brayhead House from a man who was phoning to speak to us about his father-in-law, who had been given bad news. And he wondered if we might be able to come and meet with his father-in-law just to have a time of prayer with him. He says, "My father-in-law would like to speak to you just for a few moments, if that's okay." And I spoke to the man whose name was Thomas. And he very simply said, "You see, I've been given a death sentence. And I don't want to believe it, although I do. And I just wondered if you would come and pray." He said, "I'm not looking for a cure. I just want to know that as I pass from this life into the next, that I will have the assurance of Christ Jesus with me." Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will have life." Do you know, we've come on quite a journey during these weeks of Lent. We've travelled with the disciples and Jesus through all sorts of different situations. And you know, I would just have loved to have been one of these first disciples travelling with Jesus, because they saw the most amazing things taking place before their very eyes. Can you imagine what it's like to go to a wedding with Jesus and the wine runs out? Well, before you know it, you've got more than enough wine to keep you going for, I don't know, days and days and days. Can you imagine going to a church meeting with Jesus? And there's some food, but there's not really enough to go around. And before you know it, there's enough food to feed everyone who's gathered with all these baskets of leftovers. Jesus providing in abundance. Can you imagine what it'd be like to go fishing with Jesus, and you've been fishing all night and you've not caught a blooming thing? And then before you know it, your nets are full to bursting, and you can hardly drag all the fish back to shore. Can you imagine what it would be like going on a pastoral visit with Jesus, going to visit people who are sick? And before you know it, the people who are ill are up on their feet, they're running about, they can see, they can hear, they've been sorted out. Can you imagine what it would be like going to a funeral with Jesus? And you meet the funeral procession, and he reaches out his hand and he raises up someone to life before your very eyes. And here today we have the disciples going on a post-funeral visit. And we heard what happened when he arrived to greet the mourners. Can you imagine what that must have been like for these early disciples to witness all of these wonderful moments, these miracles before their very eyes? I think it's just amazing, and it just takes my breath away how often Jesus shows up at exactly the right moment. Often when things seem to be at their worst or their lowest, when the situation seems hopeless, there is Jesus And before you know what's happening, it's not hopeless anymore. It's full of hope and it's full of life and it's full of joy. I think it's just wonderful that that continues into this very day, that even if we think things are hopeless or the situation is beyond help, often Jesus shows up because he wants to be with us in our time of need. He wants to tell us that he understands the struggles that we face, that he cares about what's happening in our lives. And the gospel reading today is just a wonderful example of Jesus showing up just when everything seems to be ended and over and hopeless. Jesus gets word that his friend Lazarus is ill. And you would think that he would go straight away to his friends, go to the house where his friends Mary and Martha and Lazarus are. But he doesn't go right away. There's a delay. He decides that he's not going to go. He holds back. And often we can't understand that, can we, when there's a crisis in our lives and we call out to the Lord for help and there's this kind of delay comes. He doesn't come to us, doesn't help us in the very moment that we feel we need him the most. He says he's not going to go at once. He says this illness will not end in death. It's for God's glory, so that the Son may be glorified through it. Then after 2 days, he says, let's go to Lazarus. And the disciples are thrown into confusion. First of all, he's not wanting to go, and now he is going to go. And they try to dissuade him. They say, don't you remember a short time ago the Jews were trying to stone you, and yet you are going to go back? There's confusion always for the disciples. They don't always get the picture straight away. But Jesus does go back to his friends. He goes back and it's too late, it seems. Because on his arrival, Jesus finds that Lazarus has already been in the tomb for 4 days. Many people have come to comfort the sisters, come to comfort them in their time of loss. And then they hear that Jesus is arriving. And Martha runs out to meet him and says to him, Jesus, if only you had been here, if only you had come to us, my brother would not have died. But I know, she says, even now that God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus answers her, your brother will rise again. And she says, I know that at the last days, some of the Jews believed that in the last days, people would be resurrected again. And she says, I know there will be a time when my brother will rise. But then Jesus says to her these wonderful words of life. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? And she confesses that Jesus is Lord, the Messiah, the Son of God who has come into the world. And then she goes and tells her sister. And Mary comes to Jesus. And she says the same thing to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus saw her weeping and was deeply moved in spirit and troubled and said to her, show me where you have laid him. Come and see, Lord, she replied. And we hear that Jesus wept. The compassion of the Lord for his friends showed forth, and he wept the tears of grief. Lots of other people had come out with the sisters, and so they were all gathered together. And then Jesus says something absolutely remarkable. He says to them, "Take away the stone." And they can't believe what he's saying. They're saying, "Lord, he's been in the tomb 4 days. There will be an odor." And Jesus says to them, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" And so they took the stone away. And Jesus prayed to his Father. And he called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out of the tomb. You know, I was at a conference many, many years ago at Carberry, and a healing conference, and Francis and Judith McNutt were preaching on this very passage. And the thing that really stuck in my mind was something that Judith McNutt said. She said, "You know, Lazarus was dead, but he wasn't far enough away that Jesus couldn't speak to him and bring him back from where he was." And she said, "Don't ever forget that. There's nowhere that you can ever go that's so far away that the Lord Jesus Christ cannot call to you and call you out and call you back and call you to new life." That's been such a comfort to me over the years, when I felt that my life was such a mess sometimes, or so chaotic, and I'd gone so far off the road, that I felt that Christ could never reach me. But yes, he can. Yes, and he can call us, called me back to life again. The wonderful thing about this passage is that the people who are gathered there are invited to take part in this recreation of life, this calling out, this resurrection moment. They're asked to move the stone away. They're told to unbind Lazarus and let him go free. And so it seems that we have a part to play in this resurrection story. We are called to unbind one another from our fears and doubts about the last enemy, which is death. We now see that the world is bathed in the light of Christ, and we have to allow others to enjoy that same seeing through our lived lives. The stone to be removed is always our fear of death and the finality of death, and the blindness that keeps us from seeing that death is merely a part of the larger mystery called life, and death never has the final word. Last Monday, a couple of us went to visit the man, Thomas, who said he'd been given a death sentence. And we didn't know what to expect as we entered the room that he was in, his bedroom. But there he was, a frail man who doesn't have many weeks left to live on this earth. And he said, "You know, I've got all the wonderful medical attention that I require, but what I'm really wanting is some spiritual attention." He said, "Will you please pray with me to allow me to have the assurance that as I go forward in this journey into the next life, that the Lord Jesus Christ will be with me and be ahead of me." And so we just give him a wee time to tell us how he was feeling and his anxieties and anything that was I had regrets about. And then we very simply prayed with him the words that Jesus spoke: "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? And we felt the power of the risen Lord in the room. It was a palpable presence with us. And the man just was relaxed and gentle and calm and assured that where he's going, the Lord will go with him and has gone beyond, and he will be with the Lord forevermore. We came out of the room and we felt that we had been touched by the risen Lord on that particular morning. We had been given also the reassurance that we were kind of looking for, which we're all looking for, that death does not have the final word, because Jesus went ahead of us onto the cross, into the tomb, and out the other side. And this story of Lazarus being raised from the dead is just a wee taste of what's to come as we move through next Sunday, a day of celebration. And then as we're plunged into the dark events of Holy Week, the crucifixion, the Saturday of mourning, and then unto the glorious resurrection, where we will, in the weeks after, hear wonderful stories of Mary and Peter and Thomas and so many of the disciples knowing, being assured that the Christ is risen. Isn't it wonderful at the point when all seems lost, when darkness seems to have the final word, Jesus appears and calls us back to life. When our hearts are wintry, grieving or in pain, thy touch can call us back to life again. Fields of our hearts that dead and bare have been, love is come again, like wheat that springeth green. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you want to continually reassure us of your presence with us, that you will come and you will call us and you will revitalize us and you will help us to understand that the promises you give us are true, and that we can trust our lives with you today, tomorrow, and beyond. So we thank you this morning for your words of life. And we pray that we will take them to ourselves in the coming days and know their blessing too. Praise you today. Lord Jesus, we praise you today. Amen.